another in that. Okay, prepared is the main thing. You got to be prepared. So we'd like to hear from you. What are the reasons why you preach and distribute books?
Because it's a duty for Vaishnavas to spread the words.
Okay.
Krishna.
Duty of the Vaishnavas to spread the words of Krishna. Yes. What else?
Basically, one has to have a strong desire or very determined until the person is equipped to give the message. They wouldn't be able to reach the consciousness. So what I feel is, I have to be personally equipped. So for that, I should be a devotee who is strong and, you know, convince myself if I have to give off the books or if I have to preach. So I basically do preaching and distribution to equip myself of these qualities so that I be a much stronger person.
Okay. In other words, in short, book distribution enables you to become more determined and strong in your Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's to please purify myself and also to please Guru and Gauranga.
Okay. Self-purification, pleasing Guru and Gauranga. Yes.
It's the Yuga Dharma and the...
Perform the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan.
Process to glorify and please Krishna. So.
Yeah.
To increase that compassion to the other living souls.
Yes.
Krishna himself has said, one who preaches these messages, he will going to give us the intelligence which we don't have, and then we're going to keep my intelligence, whatever I have. So
Krishna gives, you know, he provides what you lack. He preserves what you have. Yes.
I think it also teaches us how to be humble.
Humility is acquired, yes.
Prabhupada said preaching means book distribution.
Okay.
I find books as the easy way to spread the Krishna consciousness, something because we can't actually keep on preaching forever, obviously.
Okay.
Easy way to follow up. And I see myself as like definitely not qualified to go out and preach, whereas if I actually do the book, as you have said yesterday, like books can do the preaching, and we do the preaching. So it's all we can do is like we can facilitate books to do the preaching to the people.
Okay.
We can actually measure and see how much we are actually progressing with book distribution. It's like we go and preach to so many people, but we don't know how many are really following. Whereas if the books really go, I can at least have some kind of a measure as to how much I am actually doing for books or doing for preaching. And finally, the reason that I feel I'm doing this is this is the Yuga Dharma, obviously, and Prabhupada himself said all of his books are like a recorded chanting. That's how they have actually scripted the manuscript.
Thank you. Other reasons?
So we have to condition our mind to realize that the book distribution is fun and easy.
Yeah, we have to recondition our mind. Because right now, I know a lot of you are still, you know, sitting on the fence and watching or thinking maybe perhaps or someday or let's see, like that. And we all have that attitude sometimes. So it's not that excitement or that like stage fright, you know, when you have like, you feel like, ooh, huh? Just when I said, did you do your homework? I could feel, you know, oh. You know? You know that, when you get into class and the teacher says, okay, all right. All books closed. Now it's going to be closed book exam. You know, that mood. But actually it's very good because it puts you on the spot. Because that's exactly what happens in the time of tests, you know. Or like when it's time to give up this body. It's going to be pretty serious business. So all these little tests, they're leading up to the big test. And I'm doing this for a few years now. And still, when I go out, there's a little bit of excitement and there's a little bit of uncertainty. Do you feel the same? I think it's healthy, right? Puts you in the proper mood, in the proper consciousness. Because you know, I can't pull this off by myself. I really got to do this with Krishna together as a team. Or do you roll out there and you think, oh, another day, another book, I'm going to show them how it's done? I don't think so. You also still feel a little bit excited and a little, you know, like stage fright when you go out?
Yeah, I was just thinking when you were saying that there's different kind of different levels of that. Like in the beginning, when someone just starts doing book distribution, you know, it's a very uncertain thing, and the mind goes like from one extreme to the other, trying to figure out, what are we doing out here? What is this? And it's something that's, of course, you know, it's inconceivable. But then once we keep doing it and actually start to develop that taste, then the kind of anxiety part of it, it lessens, and the excitement becomes more of like internal energy inspired, that we're actually, you know, increasing, you know, we're spreading Krishna's internal energy like that. And, so it's also like uncertain, but it's more maybe directly connected with Krishna.
So it's not what's called anticipatory anxiety. Like some people can't even get out of their flat or out of their bed because they have too much anxiety. Oh, what will happen, you know? Will the sky fall on my head? Or, you know, what are people going to say or do to me like that? So we shouldn't have that anticipatory anxiety. Actually, after doing it for a while, you realize that Krishna has always taken care of. I mean, he always has arranged that I'm okay. And, you know, things are good. Well, we'll deal with some of the other obstacles which are there, you know, dealing with rejection, dealing with negative people, envious people. We'll talk about that today.
Yeah, personally, I've just started going out recently during the marathon with higher taste. And I found that it was draining for me psychologically when people keep on saying, no thanks, no thanks. And I sold 5 books in 2.5 hours. I went to Pitt Street more. So, but I didn't go out every day because of that, you know. I thought, oh no, it's too hard. And since you've been doing this seminar, you know, I've been thinking I should maybe endeavor again.
Yeah, endeavor is one part. But also, you will see, if you go out with other devotees and you watch them distributing, it becomes very inspiring. And then the time goes very fast. So the time can shrink or it can expand. Like, you know, if you're doing something which you like doing, which you enjoy doing, time shrinks. And if it's like, you know, exams or like that, time goes forever. It just doesn't end, you know, it just never stops like that. So, by becoming more and more skillful and also becoming more experienced in book distribution, it becomes more enjoyable. Because if you don't know what you're doing, then, you know, it's going to be hard. Just like there's different ways how to cut down a tree. You can take a club or, you know, and you can club the tree down, but it's going to take a while and it's going to be a very strenuous effort. So if you actually know what you're doing, then it's not going to be such a big a deal. So the same way right now, where it's called sharpening the saw, you have your tools and you have to know how to use them. So it's not just that we stand there and we just hold out some literature and somebody comes and asks us, and, you know. Even though you may be working on a book table, still you got to be interacting with people. You got to speak with them, show them different books. Oh, you already have this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And you remember, the more you show, the more you sell. Yesterday we had a gentleman, he already had Bhagavad Gita. Immediately he took Krishna book. Immediately, not a question. So people already have books, they're very easy candidates to take more books. Like that. So it was a good point. We have to recondition our mind. So we'll start with can somebody hit the lights? Just those here on the
Parabhanta
So today's topic is becoming an ambassador of goodwill. You all know what ambassador means, right? Ambassador is a representative of another country. Can you please turn all your mobile phones off or turn them on silent mode? So, if you are the ambassador of India to Australia, that means for the people of Australia, you represent the entire country and nation of India. So in the same way, when we go out of the Shiva Chila Prabhupada's books, we are not just such and such Das or Devi Dasi, but we are actually representing Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, the Guru Parampara, the entire tradition. So this means you carry a lot of responsibility, carries a lot of weight. Now, you see here Srila Prabhupada, he printed his pamphlet about Srimad Bhagavatam, India's message of peace and goodwill. And he already knew it's going to be 60 volumes. That was before he even went to America. He still did this in India. Carried by India's team, maybe. So this is from Bhagavad Gita. Can somebody read it out loud, please?
One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me.
Who knows where this is to be found in the Gita? Continue reading.
He for whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me.
Yes, Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter, text 13 to 15. So Krishna is saying how we can become dear to him. So he's making it very clear. And these qualities of being equipoised in happiness, distress, fear and anxiety, we can develop them on book distribution. In fact, you're forced to develop them on book distribution. Because some people are very positive and very, you know, happy and very grateful to receive a book and to contribute, and other people not. So we cannot allow ourselves, we cannot allow our mind to become elated or depressed. Because we have to understand that, you know, this lack of self-esteem, it's just depressed false ego. So if you have an inferiority complex and you feel that, oh, I can't do this, or you have a superiority complex and you think, like, I'm so great, I can pull it off by myself, it's the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin. So we should not fall into this trap of, oh, yeah, no problem, I've sold so much stuff, I've moved so much product in my life, I can do this. Or, oh, I've never talked to a person in my life and asked them about it for anything, I can't do this. But Krishna says, you know, if you do this, you're dear to me. So we'll figure out ways and means how to distribute books. That's what this workshop is all about, because we want to become dear to Krishna. Can somebody read this, please?
People will remember and tell others about meeting me. Therefore, I always do my best to leave everyone with a good impression.
Because we're going to meet these people again and again and again and again, especially if you go door to door in your neighborhood, in your area, or your place of work. You're going to see those faces for, you know, quite some time. So it's important that we actually connect with them on a positive level. And we just give them, you know, a good impression about Krishna consciousness, even though if they're not taking the book. Because sometimes you have to see people are a little skeptical, or they're a little... they're just not in the mood. So all they can take is a friendly face or a smile or hi, how are you doing? And then, but you see, they register. Oh, there was a nice exchange. And then next time they meet a devotee, they're ready to deal again with you. But if, like for instance, we took an elevator yesterday and a person came in to the elevator and immediately he turned his back towards us. So that shows he wasn't ready to deal with us. So you could try to approach him and try to sell him a book, but most likely not going to happen. because just by his body language you could see that he was not ready to deal with it. So then you have to have the patience that you just greet them, be nice and friendly, hello and goodbye, and then later on when you meet them in the flat, they might take a book because they already had some positive exchange. So in this way, all these people we're meeting out there, they already had so many exchanges with devotees. Many of them already had prasadam, they already saw devotees, they saw Harinam, and then they get the book. And then from there it should continue. It's not that giving them the book is the end of it. Because we're like farmers putting out the seeds, but we have to cultivate also. There has to be some follow-up. So when you meet nice people, you take their contacts, you invite them, you follow up with them. You may have house programs in your area, gatherings, so you invite them to those gatherings. Invite them to the temple, invite them to the retreats, and in this way you want them to become enlivened in Krishna consciousness. So it's not that just giving out the seeds. You know, a farmer who just throws seeds is not going to be very rich. He has to prepare the field, take out the weeds, put the seeds, cultivate it, water it, and then he can harvest. So it's a whole process. It's the whole thing. It's not that we're just in a book selling mission here, but we want to attract people to Krishna consciousness. We want them to come here to feel welcome, to feel at home, and to engage in devotional service. We want that their plant of devotion, their bhakti lata bij, which has been planted by the act of taking that book and giving a donation, we want that that plant actually grows all the way to the lotus feet of Radha Gopinath and offers a wonderful flower and fruit which will be offered to them. That is our satisfaction. So,
is it possible to get like an invitation to Sunday feast, for instance? You know, if people don't want that book, at least we can give them free.
No, that's illegal. We should not do that. It's either the book or nothing. Yes, of course. You have to use your intelligence. Sometimes people, they can just take a smile and they don't want to take anything else. Sometimes they can take an invitation card. Sometimes they can take a small book. Sometimes they can take a full set. It all depends. So we just have to try. But how do you try? Just in a nice, you know, gentle but persistent way. And I've seen, like door to door, it's best to just give them the Gita. Because if you start with a small book and then to upgrade them to a Gita, it becomes very difficult. But to say yes, yes means yes. So if they take the book, they take the Gita. But if you give you a small book, they're not going to give you $20 or $10. You know, you're going to get coins. But you can give them a Gita. And if it's too much for them, then they will say so. Or if they give very little, then you say, do you mind if I give you the soft cover version? Like that. So, I would always give them the Maha or the big book. But if you're at a concert, or you're at your job, or you're with people who you meet regularly, or you're with people who, you know, don't read that much, you just give them a small book. And whatever they give, if they give, it doesn't matter. I knew one devotee, he was a taxi driver, and he always bought cases, boxes of small books. And whoever came and sat in his taxi, he would talk to them about Krishna and Prabhupada, and he would give them a small book. And he would ask them for a donation. And some give and some don't give, and some give tips for the taxi ride, you know. And he said it's funny that every time he finished a box of small books, you know, 80 or 150, whatever there are, he had enough money in his jar to buy the next case of books. So he never fell short. So even though some people, you know, may not give or they may not give sufficiently, but ultimately it will always work out. So most of you are working jobs, you got other ways of maintaining yourself, so you're not dependent on the income from book distribution. So you can let the books fly at any cost. But the point is that people should appreciate it. So if somebody can't value it, like sometimes you see the book doesn't even want to stay, Krishna doesn't want to stay with this person, then don't just, you know, he opens the door like this and you throw the book in and then they close. You know? No. They gotta have some appreciation. They gotta value it, you know, on a certain level. Otherwise we may commit some offense, you know, against Krishna. So, yes.
Didn't you have passed rules about the profit made from the books? Like if someone's full-time selling books, they're allowed to use the money towards their maintenance or
sure.
other people are doing for the temple, or is it this?
Whatever suits you.
As long as you're paying the BBT for the books. Then
as long as you pay for the books and you deal with people in a nice way. Hey, if you can tell people, you know, this is more valuable than diamonds and gold, you give $1,000 and they give you $1,000, it's all good. You know, you pay the BBT, you give your donation to the deities, and, you know, if you can live and maintain yourself from book distribution, that's wonderful. It's great. But if it's not reality, then you have another occupation and you make your money differently. Then you may be a little more liberal on how you distribute the books, because you're not that worried about where the money is going to come from. You might also sponsor some books which go to libraries, hospitals, schools, prisons, other places, you know, where people don't have money. But the main thing is, get the books out and do the service. Sometimes people will, you know, glorify you and throw money at you, and sometimes they will insult you and throw other things at you. You know, it's for the body, it's all the same.
It's okay to get away a book.
Yeah.
We used to give them out in the 80s, we had so much.
Yeah, but it all depends on whether the person can actually value it. If you just run around and put them in mailboxes, or you put them in windshield wipers, or you hand them out free like that, and then you see them lying all over the sidewalk, then you see that obviously, you know, this is not such a successful strategy. Maybe you should find a place where people value it more. Like you go to a prison where people don't have that much luxury, or to a hospital, to a school, or to a library. People will value it, they'll appreciate it. It's more sensible to give it there. Someone has to use one's discretion. It's not just, okay, you know, we did 10,000 books, our goal, you know. You can just fly with an airplane and, you know, let them rain from the sky. But the question is, how many will actually hit fertile ground? That's the question. Like I know from devotees who distribute flyers, even if 1% of the people who got a flyer turn up, that's a good turnout. But in books, it's much more. Like you approach 10 people, at least 5 stop. At least 2 or 3 take something, right? So, you know, that's 10, 20, 30%. And some devotees get up to, you know, 60, 70% success rate from the people they stop and interact with. So there's no hard and fast rules, but we just have to make sure we're doing the right thing and we're doing it in the proper consciousness. Because sometimes devotees get a little fruitive. They see, oh, money starts to come, oh, I could be doing this, I could maintain myself like that. But then they go out for the money and not actually for the preaching or to do good to others. And then you start treating people according to how much money they have or how much money they give. And then you can feel how this is not... Like yesterday, we had quite some interesting exchanges there in those buildings. There was one person, he didn't look very sophisticated. In fact, in the beginning I thought he's a little slow. But, you know, he's working on computers. Maybe he is a little slow, but he's a computer programmer. He works from home, you know. He looked like a disabled person, but he was sharp. He was very clear. And just because I appreciated him and I gave him some respect and, you know, I treated him like a decent human being, he went to the back, you know, and got me $25 and got the Gita. And he said, oh, you know, I know this is worth more, you know, but I can only give this much, and you know, like that. But he was very happy. Another lady, Italian lady, she's been in Australia for 40 years, she's like 60 plus, retired. She was very happy. She was on the phone, you know. She stopped her talk. And she came and he had to talk with me. I mean, you guys didn't understand because it was in Italian. She went and got $10 and got her Gita. And afterwards, when the doors closed, she was so happy telling them, hey, I met this monk, you know, from Switzerland, and he spoke Italian, and he gave me this book, you know, something like Bible, and I gave him $10, and like that. So, you know, people get very excited. So the main point is to get positive response. If you see that your great preaching is getting only negative response, well, maybe it's not such a great preaching, you know. Like sometimes we think, yeah, we're, you know, we're the good guys, right? God is on our side. But then we just turn people away. We make them antagonistic. So we really have to see whether our tactics, our methods are, you know, getting across. And if something doesn't work, then drop it. Just drop it. If people don't laugh at your jokes, they think you're not funny, you're not, you know, drop it. You know, adapt, change, improvise. There's so many different ways, so many different ways we can do things. Yes.
Like on one hand, we have to be like confident because we are presenting Krishna conscious philosophy.
Yes.
Now, very often when we start to feel confident, we kind of like lose that mood of surrender actually. Like, how do we balance between the two? In one hand, we want to surrender to Krishna, and on the other hand, we have this confidence taking over us.
That requires a little intelligence. You always constantly have to balance. It's all about balance. Yoga means balance. You have to surrender to Krishna. At the same time, you have to use your God-given talent and intelligence to serve Him. So, Arjuna was fighting for Krishna. He's very skillful, he's very trained, but still he surrendered to Krishna, to Krishna's instruction and his desire. But he takes charge, he takes responsibility, he goes out and does what it takes. It's like when you're in the marketplace, then you have to deal like you deal in the marketplace. But you can still be surrendered to Krishna. Why? Because you understand, this book is not different from Krishna. Krishna is the inspiration, Krishna is the motivation, he's the Yajna Purush, he's the worshipful Lord, and he's the enjoyer of all sacrifice. And whatever result I achieve, I'm going to offer it to him. But if you think I'm just going to take these bricks and move them from this side of the building to that side of the building, and I want to do minimum input, maximum output, then you're not going to last on book distribution. Because then you just think, oh, you know, this is not going fast enough, this is not creating enough results, let's do some different type of scheme. We want to have change of heart. We want to have this real experience of dependence and, you know, nectar and bliss. And that comes through book distribution. So it's a constant balancing. It's always a fine-tuning thing. And it's not that all the time you're madly chanting Hare Krishna and Krishna is constantly in your mind and he's dancing on your heart and you can hardly contain your ecstasy. No, sometimes it's just hard work, you know. Sometimes it's just hard work. You just have to drive and you have to carry those books and boxes and move in and out and you have to listen to people and they're not always so nice people and it's not always so pleasant. Like that. But in the midst of all of that, you can still remember Krishna. And remember, I'm doing this for Krishna. I'm trying to serve Krishna. You just remember how Prabhupada was struggling, you know. Going to the West at the age of 70, writing his books, getting them published, no money, no help. Then you see that our struggle is very, very small, actually. Our struggle is very minimal. I mean, practically speaking, our only struggle is to get out of bed, you know, and to find our spoon, you know. That's our struggle, right? Besides that, we got no worries in life. Everything else, I mean, is pretty much taken care of. Because Krishna is very calm. We're not like in a mad struggle for survival. I don't see any people here, you know, who are like, yeah, if I don't pull this off, I'm going to perish. I haven't seen people starving in this country. So, you know, even the homeless guy makes $100 in an hour or two. So if the homeless guy is doing more than you're doing, then something is wrong. So, maybe you should change your approach or your attitude. All right, we're continuing here. We got to have priorities. That means being kind and respectful. Huh? If you're kind and respectful with people, they will always return your kindness and your respect. Because you treat them in a proper way, so they'll reciprocate like that. But if we have the mood, no, I want to be respected, I want to be treated right, well, then we have to start treating other people right. Because, you know, like Echo, you know, it's always what goes around comes around, you know. If you scream into the valley, Haribol! And he goes, Haribol. Like that, you know. So, whatever we're facing is just a reflection of our own attitudes. People are just, you know, they're too much absorbed with themselves. They're just reflecting our attitude. And sometimes it's distorted, sometimes it's more pure, but it's still our attitude. But if we project a lot of positive energy, then you will be faced with a lot of positive response. And even people who are negative, if you're positive, you can turn it around. Even something which is so-called, you know, rejection. If you have a positive mood, a positive spirit, you can take that no and it will give you energy. You can feed off of that. So you don't get down. You don't let them push you down. So after a while, when you learn the art of Sankirtan, after you're done with distribution, you have more energy than before. You charged up. You may be physically tired, maybe mentally exhausted, but you're very enlivened. You're spiritually very, you know, energetic. Like sometimes it's hard to stop, right? You've got to grab those devotees and get them in the van and say, okay, now we go home. It's over. No. This one, that one. Come on, hey, you. Come here. Take this book. One more. Take the mercy. Like that. You can't stop. It's too good. Have you ever experienced that? You'd like to comment on that?
Yeah, that's what we're all doing, what we're doing for. Yeah. Once you get that. Once we get that, then...
There's no stopping. There's nobody and nothing in the world which can stop you. Except your own mind. And if you think it's impossible, then it becomes impossible. But if you know that Krishna is on your side, it becomes very much possible. Don't concentrate on your personal scores or results. You have to understand, we're team players here. We're going to discuss about strategy just after this. Our mood, our mission is, we want to increase the preaching, the book distribution, and all these outreach activities in Sydney area. So, it's not about you doing your 10 or 20 books, or even your 50 books. It's about the team. Just like, why do certain countries, even though they're very good in sports, but when they go to the Olympics, or when they go to the World Championships, they always lose. Why? Because they're a team of stars. And they're not a team of team players. Like you see, the best players of the world, where are they? Many of them are in America, right? And they're making big money playing for their home teams. But when they go and play for the Olympics or for the World Championship, they don't care, you know? Because it's not really important, there's no money involved. You ever seen? It's quite amazing. And because if you put a team of just stars, and they don't really respect each other, and they don't really like each other, and there's too much ego and attitude involved. And then you have other teams, you know, like Czechoslovakia or Slovakia, you know, East Bloc, you know. But they have been trained from little to work as a team, solid, you know. And they win. They win against the big, big guys who are making big bucks. So in the same way, we want team players. Because the first thing you got to learn in sports is that a pass is faster than a dribble. That's soccer, you know. I know you play different types of games, but you can adopt it to your, you know, strategy. Whether it be basketball or ice hockey or soccer. A pass, if you pass the ball, that's faster than if you take the ball and you dribble with it and then you fumble and you lose it. Because the team has to win. It's not about, oh, I have, you know, scored so many times. Yeah, but your team has lost. What's the big deal? So in the same way, you may distribute a few books, but we want the team to win. So instead of concentrating on personal scores, oh, I've done 5, I've done 10, I've done 20, I want you to think like, we're the Sankirtan Yatra, Sydney. And we together have done so and so many books this week. And sometimes it means you take time off distribution to train others. Sometimes it means you take other people out, you counsel them, you help them sort out their lives so they get time to go out and preach and distribute books. And you may think, oh, this is Maya, I should just be out there, distribute. Yeah, but at one point you're going to get old. And then, you know, the science, the secret is going to die with you. So you have to take some time and teach others. Because if each one of you takes 5 or 10 other devotees and trains them, how much more can we do? Huh? But that means first we got to be trained up ourselves. Otherwise we can't be of that much use and benefit to others. But already you have some very experienced devotees here, so, and it doesn't take that much. Whatever knowledge you've acquired, you can pass it on to others. But try to think more as a team. Then the mood, the spirit becomes much more sweet. There's not so much of this, you know, you can still have your individual competitions and, oh, how much did you do? And, you know, I did like that. And how did you do it? What did you say? Like that. That's good. But that's healthy competition. Let's serve Krishna better. If you got any questions, you can just ask, you know, at any time of the presentation. Develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude and thanks to people you meet, live with, or associate with. If you thank people for, thank you for taking your valuable time for looking at this book. You know, people will be touched. Will actually feel like, wow, you know, this person's appreciated me taking my time. I've just said no, you know. I didn't take it. Like Vaisheshika Prabhu was distributing in Northern California, one Christian couple, they said, no, we can't take this. You know, we're Christian. And he said, well, that's wonderful. Anyhow, thank you for taking your valuable time for looking at this. And they went away. And after half an hour, they came back and they said, you know what? Actually, you know, we'd like to apologize because, you know, you showed this and you're so nice and, you know, gracious and, you know, thankful, but we just, you know, brushed you off. So we'd like to apologize and give you a donation. And then they took the book. So sometimes, just by the way how you handle rejection, the next person will become inspired and they will take something. So, everything counts. And also, gratitude to the people you live with or you associate with. It's not that we're just doing this for a PR purpose. Oh, we're very nice outside and we deal with people very nicely on the street. But then when you're here, you know, it's all elbows and, you know, and rough and me first, like that. Then people will feel, hey, why should I join this bunch? You know, they're just a rough bunch. I'd rather be a guest because as a guest, I'm treated much better than if I'm part of it, right? So we have to treat everybody right. Then people will want to be part of this. We were distributing books in Russia. One lady, she saw us talking, five devotees together. She didn't understand. But she watched for 10 minutes and then she said, you're very special people, the way you talk with each other, the way you smile. I want to know what this is all about. And she took a book. Just because she saw how the devotees were interacting with each other. So when people come, or when people see you, they will want to be part of this. But if they feel like, okay, it's nice, I got the book, but I'd rather be at home, and I show up sometimes for the festivals, that means we haven't learned how to deal with each other properly. That they're attracted to be part of this. Because if you got something good, everybody wants it. Everybody wants to be part of it. In fact, nobody wants to leave. You know? Even the festival's over, everybody wants to stay. Nobody wants to leave. But that means you have to have some gratitude and actually express it. It's not enough to just have it and know that it's a fact, but you actually have to express it so that people will know. Remember, preaching means giving. We are a preaching movement, that means we are a giving movement. We're not out there to take from the people. We are out there to give. And the more you give, the more you get. The more you give, the more people reciprocate. The more you distribute Krishna consciousness, the more you become Krishna conscious. I started when I was 15. I didn't understand much of the philosophy. It didn't make that much sense. But one thing I understood very right from the beginning. Because I started going to those festivals which we had. Then I started to distribute prasadam. And I saw that the more I distribute, the more blissful I am. So I was distributing tons of lassi and halala and flyers like that. So I thought, this makes sense, you know? The more you give, the more you get. And then I started book distribution in the same spirit, in the same attitude. And you'll see, the more you're in a giving mood, the more your heart and your life becomes full. Don't be condescending. People can smell it immediately. If they think that you are just, you know, riding high on your high horse and talking down to these lowly people, you know, take this, otherwise you go to hell, you need this, you know, can't get any worse, look at you, you're in bad shape, this and that. If you just have some, you know, contempt or some condescending attitude, people pick up on it immediately. Immediately. And they will feel repulsed. So we have to check ourselves to see what's our attitude, our mentality. Feel and express empathy. There's a difference between sympathy and empathy. You know, you can be sympathetic and say, yeah, I'm sympathetic to your cause. But empathy is if you actually feel that person, you know. Just like when you see people, like they're opening their door and they're like, they look like death warmed up, you know. They look like really on the edge of just dropping dead. Or they're so distressed or miserable or stressful or bewildered or whatever they are, confused, you know. Many times the living entity just looks at this and it's like, oh, what is this? So I asked one of my friends, who's an Ayurvedic doctor, who's some youngsters, some gurukulis, they wanted to get into the career of being Ayurvedic doctors. So I asked the question, what's the most important skill or the most important quality an Ayurvedic doctor has to have? And he said that the most important quality which you have to have is you have to feel the pain of the people. If you're not able to feel their pain, you're not qualified as a doctor. If you want to do it for the money, for the prestige, for the job, for whatever, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be successful. But if you feel people's pain, then you'll be a good doctor. So in the same way, if you want to be successful in preaching or in sankirtan, you have to feel people's pain. Even though they may have the big house, the big car, the big everything, but if you see past all that facade, and you see their loneliness, you see their sorrow, you see their hankering, you see their confusion, and you actually feel for them, you sympathize, and then you develop empathy from your heart, then that is very touching, and that will touch that person's heart. Practice parallel service. That's for full-time distributors. You got to do other services also, so you're well-balanced. We're not just giving out books. We're also doing programs, cooking, kirtan, you know, cleaning, all other things, so you become well-rounded. Can somebody read this, please?
He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna.
So that means we do not distinguish, we do not differentiate. We do not think, oh, this is Asian body, oh, this is Indian body, oh, this is friend, this is enemy. It might be quite opposite, right? Your own fellow, you know, Indian might treat you like an enemy, very hostile, and your so-called enemy or, you know, indifferent person or whatever from whichever nationality may be quite open. So we should not have these bodily designations that we judge people according to their physical appearance. Because most of the time, you will go wrong. Just like Giant Vijay, they saw the four Kumaras coming. They said, hey, you little naked kids, what are you doing here, guys? Get lost, you know? And they were in trouble. And it happens a lot of times. You have people who don't look like it, but they're actually devotees. They have a devotional mentality. And if we see people as devotees, we give them the benefit of the doubt. If you want to go on Sankirtan for a long time, you have to actually like the people. You have to come to the point where you like the people. And that means you give them the benefit of the doubt that they are decent, that they are nice people. Just like, for instance, you're dealing in business or in banking. You have to give people the benefit of the doubt that they're not cheaters, right? Otherwise you don't even want to get into an exchange or into dealing with them. So you give them the benefit of the doubt till they might be proving otherwise. But even then you know that that's just a contamination and deep down they're actually good people. So do you believe in the good in people? Or you think, oh, it's dog-eat-dog society and, you know, you just got to be clever and faster and smarter, make your mark in the world. Do we actually truly believe that people are good? They're actually, you know, part and parcel of Krishna. They're actually devotees. They're not just devotees. I mean, when are you a devotee? When you put on a dhoti, then it's no dhoti, no devotee. That already disqualifies half of you. When are you a devotee? When you've taken initiation. Prabhupada met his Guru Maharaj and it took 11 years till he formally accepted Diksha. Was he not a devotee in those 11 years? So it's not about the external. It's about the heart. Yes.
That verse says about distinguishing. So what's the difference between distinguishing and discriminating? Because
distinguishing means you see this is an old person, he may not hear me that well. Like I had a lady yesterday, she was like 80 something. She couldn't read, it was just way too small for her. But she was smiling. So I just said Hare Krishna. And she got a good impression, she touched the book. But she said, I can't read this, this is way too small for me. So, the difference is between distinguishing and discriminating is distinguishing is means use your sense of, you know, to able to distinguish. Or even you might call it discriminate. But discriminating means that you judge and you say, no, you can't, no, you're not qualified. No, like this, you can't. No, it's not possible. Like that. So you're observative. You see who is who and what's what, but you don't judge. Okay? Somebody read this, please.
This is our movement. We want to see that everyone is happy. That is the Vedic vision. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. This is human life. Human life means para upakara. That is to attend Mahaprabhu's mission to do others something auspicious. That is human life. Srila Prabhupada then visualized second man's semi-final lecture.
So to do something auspicious for others, this is the human form of life. If they see these books, they touch these books, they read one line, their lives become benefited. So book distribution creates auspiciousness in society because it is the Sankirtan Yajna. So we're going to discuss how to distribute more books in just a minute. Somebody read this, please.
An intermediate or second class devotee called Madhyama Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Offers love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:2:48-46.
So, you're offering your love to Krishna, you're a sincere friend to the devotees, you show mercy to the ignorant, and you avoid the envious. You always have some dogs who are barking. But then you don't go there and tease them, you know. Hey, you. And then all of a sudden there is a fence, you know, there's a hole in the fence, you know, and the dog comes and gets you on the leg. No. If the people are not ready, you know, then just leave them be. If they're envious, just avoid them. If they're confused, you know, try to give them, but you never know. That is a Madhyama Adhikari. We all have to come from Kanishtha, where we just see my guru and the deity, and nothing else matters in the world. Everybody else is just, you know, a nuisance, a disturbance in my life. They're just dead weight, you know. The more people, the longer I have to wait till I get prasada. But a Madhyama Adhikari means you're acting on this platform. So as a preacher, as a book distributor, we are acting on this platform. We might not be yet situated on this platform, but we're acting on this platform. And by acting on this platform, more and more we develop this attitude. Engage everyone appropriately and as completely as possible. So that means We give out lots of prasadam, especially people you see regularly. Like yesterday I saw Rupa, Raghunath Prabhu, you know, always has prasadam with him. Always gives prasadam to the people. It makes a world of a difference. There's hundreds and hundreds of stories with people's lives have been changed by the power of prasadam. I mean, most of you also. We're prasadam bhaktas, right? So, if Krishna consciousness would just be a philosophy, would not be that attractive. But prasadam is very easily accessible. So we should use it, utilize it. How difficult it is. Once a week or twice a month, you make some sweet balls, you keep them in the fridge, you offer them to Krishna, you take them, and you give them to all the people you meet. They'll be very, very happy. Especially to people you see on a regular basis. Like that. Then offer kind words. You know, it's a hard world out there. Life is tough in the material world. Huh? So if you get some kind words of appreciation, that goes a long way. Introduce the books. Teach the Maha Mantra. You can ask people, even when you give them the book, do you believe in the power of prayer? And most people will say yes. Huh? And then he asked them, can you repeat after me? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. They'll be ecstatic. Avoid the envious, give mercy to the innocent, and invite and follow up with favorable people. So this is the battle plan. This is what we want to do. If you're in the service business, our motto is always better service. Srila Prabhupada was not good enough. He was not mediocre. He didn't think, oh yeah, like this is okay. Now let's sit back and enjoy. We have a few temples, we have a few disciples. Now let's just sit back and have a good time. Now Prabhupada was always into excellence. He was so happy to see devotees become expert in their services. So how to practice always better service? After every interaction, after every engagement, we ask ourselves, what worked well and in what areas is there room for improvement? Just like yesterday, we went out door to door and we saw that it's very important that you have an idea of where you're going, right? Because otherwise, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And you might have buildings which are all closed or people which are not at home. So you got to have a strategy, you got to have a plan. Right? Also, what worked well, you know? You have to write down, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? How can I bank on my strengths? How can I avoid the weaknesses or make them stronger? So, that should take place on an individual and on a collective level regularly. We have to ask ourselves these questions. If there's no assessment, if there's no self-assessment, there will be no improvement. If you think good is good enough, we'll never actually improve. We'll never actually advance. If you think, okay, it's all right, I sleep in and I chant a few rounds and I do a few things and Haribol, then your life will always be a mess. We have to actually improve, just like we heard this comment, that on book distribution you actually have a tangible way of seeing, you know, not just by the result of how many books went out, but how was the interaction, how was the response, what was my taste? What was my realization? This is measurable. It may not be quantifiable in numbers, but you can, you know, when you introspect, you feel. Did I hear my rounds today? Like that. How many mantras did I hear? Huh? Like that. Incremental improvements. List your best practices, list room for improvement, and make improvements before your next engagement. Somebody read this, please.
Simply, it is practice. So as by practice, you have increased so-called demands of your body. You can decrease it also.
Yeah. Like people think it's quite normal. You know, you got to have 2 cars and, you know, 3 places to live and 50 types of clothes and 108 types of shoes, like that. But that's by practice. But by the same kind of practice, you can also decrease. In the same way, you might not, right now, you might not feel that comfortable with the idea of going out and distributing books. But by practice, you can become quite comfortable. It's just by habit, by practice. You know, the mind can be conditioned in so many ways. If you drive in India and you see people living under that bridge, on that bridge, where 4-6 lanes of traffic go by, and they live on a plastic sheet of 20 square feet, you know, family of 6 people, and they live there, and they're, you know, as far as meets the eyes, fairly content. Why? Their mind is conditioned that this is normal, this is home, this is where we lived all our life. So we can condition our mind. We can train our mind. So here you see some devotees. Did we see those already yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday we saw
them. Same?
No. The first one we
saw. Yeah, first one I saw. This is Gornita in Japan, Tokyo. All right, so I want to use the rest of the time to have a discussion on where do we go from here? How do we increase preaching and book distribution here in Sydney? Because you all individually we're weak, collectively we're strong. Just like a small branch, you can break it. But if you put 5 branches, it becomes very hard to break it. If you put 10 or 20 branches, you can't break them. If you tie them together, you can't break them. Piece of paper, very easy to rip, right? Have you ever ripped a phone book? Anyone here? You ever tried to break a phone book? Very difficult. You managed it?
No.
So, there is strength in numbers. So, if you put your minds together and you make an action plan and you decide on a strategy. So what's the goal? What's the goal we're trying to achieve? Any ideas?
Spread the mercy.
Huh?
Spread the mercy.
Spread the mercy. Sounds good.
What else? Increase the book distribution.
Increase book distribution.
Every household in Sydney should have Prabhupada.
Every household in Sydney should have Prabhupada's books.
To make a dedicated team, like so that they can go and
build our dedicated team, yes.
Satisfy Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
Increasing Krishna's family by preaching.
Yeah.
Build proper relationships with people.
Build proper relationships with people.
We realize that we are actually living in the golden age. That's still, as of now, it's still a theory actually for us, at least personally.
Golden age is still a theory, so we want to actually make it happen. We want to see it in our lifetimes. Okay, so that's the goal. Now the plan, how to get there, that's what we're discussing now. So every, it may sound like, you know, quite far away and quite, but every journey starts with the first step, you know. So, and it might be a small step. So we have to see, we have to take inventory. Okay, who do we got? And how are we going to do this? Like right now here, there's about 20 people. And you all have talents, you all have assets, you all have skills, you all have experiences. And you can all contribute to this endeavor. So once you know where you are and where you want to go, then you can decide on your strategy. And there's different ways of doing it. Like some people, they can just dedicate all their time and all their life to it. Others have part-time. But that's not the point. The point is that we're in the Sankirtan movement. It means something has to move. You know? If you feel there is no movement, and we're just stuck, and we're just running in circles, or we're running. We're running very fast. But we're running in circles, you know, like the dog chasing its own tail, you know. Gets very tired, but it doesn't get anywhere. So, we have to have a plan, we have to have a strategy. Now there's so many different ways how we can distribute books and we can contact the people. Can you name some of the ways how we can distribute books?
Go to the malls.
Malls.
Hospitals.
Go to the
stations.
General stations.
Yes.
Temple.
Internet.
Prison, library, schools. Schools.
More.
Workplace. Workplace.
That's it.
Relatives, friends.
Home programs, hall programs, festivals.
Friends, relatives.
Factories, hotel.
Trains, buses.
Ferries.
Unlimited, right? It's unlimited. Okay, the question is, what are we going to do?
Carry some books.
Huh?
Carry some books.
Getting some books, yes, because you can't distribute books that you don't have.
Every day.
So?
Some books every day.
Yeah. Every day, take some book with you. Wherever you go, you take some book with you in your bag, and you meet somebody, you show it to them. Like that. So that's a start. So this is all recorded. Somebody's going to type it up later on, then send it out to the email in your conference. Like that. So make those action points. You got to get books. You got to have books at your own place. It's not good enough, oh yeah, they're somewhere there in the temple, you know, and if I find the right guy who has the key, then I can get him. But the book's got to be with you, in your place. You might not have 100 or 1,000 books, but everybody should have some books. Right? It's not too complicated. Whether you buy them or you do it on consignment, you know, whatever. That's detailed. You figure that out by your team, like that. You should have your own account so that people who want to help book distribution, they can put money into that account. With that money, you buy books from the temple, you distribute it to all your distributors, then whatever money comes in, you put it back into the account. You buy more books. You give them to all your distributors. They distribute them. Donations come, you put it into the account. You buy more books. And in this way, it goes on and on and on, expanding. Then you have different strategies. Some teams will be formed. Some people feel very good going door to door. Some people feel very good in going to Harinam or putting a table out and talking with people from the table. Some people feel very good to get more people involved to sponsor books, to give thousands and thousands of books. Some people will actually go out and give those books in these places. They may not be the people who sponsored them. They might, but they might be other people. Like that. Got to involve more people. You got to build your team. The devotees are your biggest asset. They're our biggest asset. There's so much energy. There's so much enthusiasm. There's so much potential here. You know, right now, we're all running at about 10 or 20% of our capacity. Now, for any businessman, that's not acceptable, right? If you get 10 or 20% out of your business, that's like, you know, you're really doing lousy. But that's what we're doing right now. We're running at about 10 or 20% of our capacity. We could all be doing so much more. We're still wasting so much time because we're just not very efficient. Okay, the first important thing is that we're doing the right thing. And efficiency builds up, it comes later on with practice. There is so many people out there. Sydney has got how many, what, million people?
5 million.
5 million. So, you know, there's a lot of people. You can't talk to 5 million people. It's not possible. It's too many people. You maybe don't want to talk to too many people. But if you build your team, and then you have a whole bunch of people, then it becomes quite possible. Right? So, yes.
People, like, when you do door-to-door distribution, like, let's say I want to do door-to-door distribution to my neighborhood. I go once, then how do I go next time? Like,
it all depends whether, you know, how the response was.
Yeah, because I'm saying, like, if I'm going giving Bhagavad Gita, like, I go for a street of, like, 50 houses, I might knock some doors, but they're not answered, like, or people are not there. You don't keep a count, but you still want to go to the street to see if
those people around.
So you go again, you take prasadam with you, you take different books, you take invitations, you know, there's always something they take like that. It's not a problem. You might not go every day, you might not go every week, but you know, if you're in your neighborhood, you might come by once a month. It's not a problem. Some people really don't want to see you, you'll remember them and you'll avoid them. But otherwise, it's not a problem. So the main thing when you build a team, what's the first thing you gotta have?
Common goal.
Yes. You gotta have a leader. You may have a few leaders for different, you know, but you gotta have somebody as a coordinator. Like that. So you gotta decide amongst yourself who that person is. Then you have somebody who's good at numbers, who does the accounts. You have somebody who does the book room. Because you can't put this all on the temple, you know. You might have your own book room at somebody's, you know, central location. Then you have somebody who is the logistics person, who figures out, you know, the flyers, the invitations, when is the festivals happening, where are things happening, which teams can be deployed for which type of activities. Sure, there's so many Indian festivals also here in this area, so many temples. And if you actually would network with these people, like I've just been in Bali in Indonesia, and there's, you know, there's 5 million people on that island, on the entire island, and they get 2 million tourists visiting every year. But they have so many Balinese temples with so many festivals and rituals. So they have made friends with all the people who manage those temples and festivals, so they're allowed to put a book table outside those festivals. Because most of these groups, they don't have books, you know, or book is not their thing. They're into the ceremonies, they're into the pujas. But they don't mind. If you're nice with them, you give them prasadam, you explain it to them, they'll allow you to put your book table. So then people go to that function and they buy Prabhupada's books. Have you ever thought of that? Anybody ever looked into that?
Yeah.
And?
Well, we've got to get in touch with...
Of course, you got to get in touch and you got to learn how the game works. But it's definitely possible, you know, because these people are already this close to having a full set of Prabhupada's books. All that is separating them is time. And you just talking to them, approaching. You got to have a set program. Somebody who is expert at doing sets. For some people, instead of buying a Gita for $20, they'll buy the full set, you know, for a few hundred dollars. It's not a problem for them. It's not about the money. If you have a nice presentation, which makes sense, just install full sets in their homes. You may think now, oh, so many books, oh, so much money. But, you know, people are spending millions. So much money is being spent every day. So, if they know that this is valuable, this is important, then they'll take it. You may have a little ceremony where you make a puja, you know, chant some mantras, make a little festival, invite their friends, this and that, have the pujari there, the devotee, talk a few verses from the Bhagavatam, how it's auspicious, make your home a temple, Krishna's here in the Bhagavatam, this and that and the other thing. Very nice. He invites all his friends and family and he can show off as a very pious and very cultured and sophisticated person, right? And then what happens? At that program, you get the next 3 or 5 people who say, hey, I want to do this too at my house. And in this way, you just sell sets. Boom, 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 boom. Right now you think, oh, you know, how can we do this, right? Take this small book, give me some coins. But you can devise different methods, different strategies. Use your intelligence. You're all smart people. You found your way here. You weren't born here, most of you. You know, how did you figure it out? You figured it out. Your job, your house, your life, your money, you figured it out. Krishna gave you the intelligence, right? So if you want to preach, Krishna will give you the intelligence. If you know that everybody needs these books, you figure it out. There's a million ways how you can distribute books. Now what's the most productive? That's depending on you. But usually the easiest to start off with is door to door and streets. And then once you get a little bit of training and expertise, then you can start to adopt these other systems also. Some people are very computer savvy, and they have, you know, they're on all these groups. And you can distribute e-books, like anything, like that. Or you can get people to log on to the BBT's website and order the books. Do they have a good mail order? They have a good fulfillment? People order from the BBT?
I'm not sure.
Yes? I've known people who got books through e-website.
Through?
Krishna.com.
Yeah, but that's America. I'm talking about
Australia. There is this center in Australia now. I had a mail saying that we can order from the BBT Australia.
Yeah.
And it works?
Yeah.
It works.
People actually get the book?
Yeah. It's just 2 weeks.
My wife is working there.
Okay. Good. So we should give her some more work, right? What do you think?
Yeah, there's plenty of work.
Good. So then there will be plenty more people who can work there. In Vrindavan, some smart disciples of Prabhupada, some older ladies, have started a mail order program. With all the nice people who visited Vrindavan, they just send them a catalog. And, you know, and they order tens of thousands of books just because somebody keeps in touch with them. Like that. It's systems.
Yeah.
Your people are smart at systems, no? So use that. Use that talent for preaching. The SET program. Then have local gatherings, regional gatherings. All of you got to be trained up, and then you train up 5 or 10 or 20 other people how to go door to door in their neighborhood, in their area. And in this way it can spread. But it's all dependent on, am I convinced? If I'm not convinced that this is the right thing to do and that this is really important and this is really beneficial and this is really good for the people and for myself, then we're not going to do it. We go home, we read the news, we watch a movie, we eat something, we go to sleep, we chant a bit of Hare Krishna, we give some donation, we feel sorry about ourselves, and we go on with our lives. Yes, it's possible. We all have done it. But the question is, if we want to experience this higher taste, and if we want to give people the chance to engage in devotional service, then we have to empower them. We have to allow them to contribute service. So when you make that strategy, don't think small. Right now your team is maybe 10 or 20 people. But if you build it nicely, it can easily be a few hundred people. You can have the youth group, the ladies group, the old folks group, the business people, the students, you know, the successful businessmen, whatever. Just think in terms of teamwork. And in this way you can make it big, you can make it happen. But there's a few rules. You have to accept, you have to buy into the strategy. You have to accept that you have a leader and you report to him. There's websites also. Distributebooks.com is one. Have you checked that website? Distributebooks.com? There's another one in the UK which they just made for people who got a book and they have questions and they can check out on that. In America it's called aboutmybook.com. UK it's something different, it's on Dandavats now. Then also there is iskandesiretree.com with all the audio. You know, have you seen iskandesiretree with all the classes, audio? There's also a section on book distribution. And there's a lot of seminars and classes and different workshops there like that. So there's a lot of material.
There's also another book distribution website being developed in Bombay. It's called iskonbooks.com.
Iskonbooks.com. There is krishna.com. There is bbt.se. There's so many websites. There's so much information out there. You can also just type book distribution, Prabhupada's book distribution, and then you have a lot of clips on YouTube.
Vaisheshika
Prabhu, others, how to distribute books. Quite some information is out there. So the question is, do you want to do this?
Probably, that's good news for you, because it's just being done.
Huh?
It's being done. So I give you some information.
It's being done.
Yes, that's
good. Good. It's work in progress.
It's already working very much. So I give you that. It's a group called SG and SG, Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Sankirtan Party. There are six families in the outer west of Sydney at the moment. They are concentrating on exactly what you're doing, for which we really appreciate your encouragement. They go out every day on an average on the station. They pick the station line from Parramatta to Blue Mountains. Every day they go out in Harinam. They take with them prasadam, flyers, and they Harinam there as well. On weekends, the families get together and picnic together on Harinam. They go out and do Harinam. After yesterday's program.
So this has to be made known to everybody else.
This is coming up in the newsletter.
Yes, first you experiment, you know, you make your laboratory experiment. And then when something works, because nothing speaks louder than success. When somebody is successful at some program, then you make it known to everybody else. And then people say, hey, if these guys can do that, we can do that too. We can do that better than these guys. I mean, these are just the guys out there, you know. So, like that.
At the moment, it's in the laboratory system.
Yes.
Fine tuning.
Yeah.
And it's working reasonably well.
First, it's prototype. You know, you have the trial phase.
That's right.
And then once you got your, you know, once you got your mixture down, then you take it to town. You take it to the market.
That's what we see at the moment, that in Sydney, something is so scattered. That if people pick on a particular area, like train line, we're trying it out at the moment.
Yeah.
And then they get in the area, pick like a Hornsby train line or the South, and they fix it. And they create that as an area, and they can concentrate on it. At the moment, I think we are running everywhere in Sydney, and we're not getting much done. So this is now we're trying to develop this protocol where we can just concentrate on this area and try and see if we can fine tune it, then let others know as well what's happening. Right? So far, since we protocols could be working, there are six families involved in it.
As well as New Zealand brahmacharis going out every day.
Yeah, but we can't delegate the task of book distribution to the New Zealand brahmacharis. You know, I'm not concerned about putting out a few hundred or a few thousand books. I'm concerned about conquering the market. I want to see a few thousand devotees here in Sydney. I mean, if they can do it in Durban, if they can do it, you know, in so many cities, why can't they do it in Sydney? Right? Because Sydney is like London, New York, Los Angeles, right? Sydney is the capital of the Southern Hemisphere, isn't it? So, that means...
there are other people, not just...
Yeah, there are other people. But the question, my question is, you know, why am I here chanting Mangalarti, Nishinga prayers and Tulsi prayers by myself? I've been doing this on a few days this week, alone, singing the first line and the second line, you know, as the lead singer and as the choir. And it's okay, you know, it's like you feel like you scored a hat trick, you know, in sports, but after a while it gets kind of lonely. So you feel like there could be more people involved in this. And I know everybody's got a very busy life and a very busy schedule, and this is not to put the guilt trip on you that you got to go to Mangalarti and you got to go to the temple. But this is just, you know, many hands make light work. So the more people we get involved, the easier it gets. Yes, please.
The main thing is how you approach to make a formal group.
Yeah.
He's our ringleader.
Yeah.
He is our ringleader. He rings. Hey, stay. We are having Harinam here.
Yeah.
All are coming. It takes only 20 cents or 20 cents or 15 cents.
So some people have to agree to be leaders and other people have to agree to follow the leaders.
That's what we need.
Yeah. So I can't tell you who your leaders are. I can't tell you who your followers are. I know how it's being done, but you got to make it happen on your own. I just show you the way how it's being done. And some people are already doing it, consciously or unconsciously. But this is how it works. I've trained people and instituted it in so many places, but you got to carry through with it. I can give you training, I can give you inspiration, I can, you know, there's other people who can help you doing it, but ultimately it boils down to the individual taking responsibility and saying, I want to do this, you know. I got my life, I got my job, I got my family, I got my sadhana, I got everything. Krishna's given me everything. But this is what I want to do. And I challenge you. I challenge you all. You experiment with this. And you see where this goes. Because this can become big. Because the ground here is so fertile, it's unbelievable. You go to Russia, you go to Africa, you go to South America, you know, economic difficulties, social difficulties, religious, political, so many difficulties, so many obstructions. You have none of that here. This field is as wide open as it can ever be. You got all opportunity right here at your doorstep. And yeah, people are in a sense gratification mood, so what? Give them kirtan, give them prasadam. These books look very attractive. So, it's really up to us. But it means we have to understand, I'm a team player. I'm not just a star here. I'm not just a prima donna who is trying to have my own little dance. But I'm actually, you know, I actually like working with other people. I also like working under other people. It may look like I'm very independent kind of a guy, but I'm also working under people. You know, Vaisheshika is my boss, and I have other people, you know, who I give reports to and who I get assessed by. This goes on continuously. It's not that at one point you just, okay, I'm initiated now, I'm on my own, I do my own thing. You're okay, I'm okay. You know, you mind your business, I mind mine. No. People who actually take interest in us and people who criticize us, they're our friends. And those who pat you on the back and say, oh, you're doing very great, Ghanashyam, you're a great guy, most likely, they're just waiting for you to go down. They might even, you know, create some of that sawdust, you know, to get that strawberry flavor. Yes?
How do you deal with reaction?
Reaction or rejection?
Rejection and classicism. And when you try to
how do you deal with it?
Pass the message on.
Yes.
They sort of criticize you and make fun of it.
Yes, very easy. Very easy. Just like how do you deal with when somebody's not nice to you? You just say, have a nice day, and you move on. What can you do? That person already has their perception. And to change that perception would take a lot of energy, a lot of trouble, right? So what do? You don't get bogged down. You just say, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. So they've tried to give you negative energy, but you gave them positive energy. So actually, you became stronger. Whether they can take it or not, that's up to them. You see? It's not in our hands. Our circle of influence is usually this big. That's our circle of influence. It's very small. So, but we have influence over ourselves, over our attitudes. So what I usually do is, I just say, have a wonderful day. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And you just move on. And then they see, hey, this person is different, you know? Doesn't pick a fight with me. Doesn't get all angry. Doesn't do this. Doesn't do that. I mean, what makes this person so calm? Why can you be so self-confident? We can. Because we know that, you know, it's all under Krishna's control. Nothing's outside of Krishna's control. Not a single blade of grass moves without the sweet will of the Lord. Nobody can harm you. Nobody can do anything to you. They can just say no. So what? What's the big deal? We got to grow up and live with it. Some people will say no. You know, it's like when you have kids, sometimes they say no, right? But you just, do you get upset? Do you get disturbed? Do you get, you know, insecure? No. You know, there's kids. It's just the way they are. Get on with it. Just, you do your thing. In the same way when you preach. Some people, they're very positive. Some people don't care. Some people are negative. So, it's not really... But it takes a little confidence. Takes some experience. But see it in a positive way. We should not be surprised that people say no. They're in the material world. They don't want Krishna. They want to stay here. We should be surprised if somebody says yes. It's all depending on your attitude. Other questions?
Prabhu, like... You know, we travel on the train, so we meet a lot of people in the train. So
yes.
What is the tactics for starting a talk and then...
Well, number one, you have to understand what's the environment, what's the mindset. The environment is, it's loud, It's fast, and the person's going to leave any station, right? So you can't start with, you know, oh, there was a king once upon a time, and he got cursed, and he sat down in the river of the bank, you know, because he was... And, okay, that's my stop, and he's gone. So you got to know what the situation is. So you got to keep it short and quick. It's like last time in Melbourne, I was on the tram back to the temple from distribution. There was an Indian kid sitting next to me, you know, in his 20s, and I asked him, where are you from? And he says, I'm a Gujarati. And I asked him, do you like Krishna? And he says, I love Krishna. And I say, boom, here's the book. Give a donation. Okay, that's it. That, and he walked off. It was a 5-second thing. That's all it takes. So you have to understand, you know, Jai, Shishi, Radha, Gopinath, Ki Jai, Gonitai, Ki Jai, Jagannath, Baladev, Sukadev. You have to understand what that person needs to hear. Most people, hey, how's it going? Another rough day at the office, huh? You have to see what kind of mood they're in, you know? You try to connect to their mood. Say one or two things which make them feel like sympathetic. Then you just put the book in their hand. Book of Meditation and Yoga teaches you how to get free from stress. Have you heard of stress before? Oh, okay. You can take it. We don't sell these. Just give a donation. Oh, okay. How much? Like that. Couple of seconds, couple of minutes at most. But it's not that we go out and we preach and, you know, it's a big, whole, huge thing and I got to press this, you know, round piece into this square hole and I got to take my big hammer and squeeze them into this hole. You know, you can also distribute books like that, but there will be pain, there will be tears, there will be blood spilled, you know. There will be a lot of struggle. We've all done it, right? A million times. But it's not so enjoyable, not for the one who does it, not for the person who gets the book. But if we just accept the person for what they are, you just accept them. It's not that we glorify them, or that we emulate them, or that, you know, we just accept them. And that's a very rare thing, you know? Because nowadays, you ask people, do you like people? And they say, well, you know, sometimes, or just certain types of people, or no, actually, I don't like people. But if you are a person who just likes people, you'll have a lot of success in distributing books. How you do that? Not on bodily designations, not by color of skin or dress or level of education and income. If you know everybody's a part and parcel of Krishna, they're all my eternal brothers and sisters. They're all family. We're all in this together. If you have that mood, that spirit, you know, like in your family, you may have some uncles, some brothers, some sisters. You may not like all of them. It's possible, right? Is it? Some of them are quite, you know, notorious, and some are quite obnoxious, and some of them, you know, you couldn't care less if they'd be on the planet or not. But still, they're family, right? So, you know, you treat them, you give them respect, you deal with them like that. So if you understand your family, these are all parts and parcels of Krishna. And I just want to bring them back to Krishna. Because they have amnesia, you know, they forgot who they are. They're a little, you know, deranged. Then you have a different attitude. If you do that, you create noise. And then the noise will be on the tape also. And they will think like, is this an outdoor recording with so much wind on the beach? Other questions? Yes?
Going back to Prabhu's question about distributing books on the train.
Yes.
These days you see a lot of people there on their iPod, yeah, hearing it. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know, how do you distract them from...
Say... No. Same thing when they're on the phone. I mean, when they're on the phone, it's even a little more difficult. But iPod, you know, they can just take it out. They can just stop it. It's not a problem. If they're talking on the phone, it's a little more difficult. They have to be a little bold. Other questions?
What's the take off? How do we start conversation? Like,
nice music, huh? What are you listening to? What's your favorite band? Very easy. Oh, music thing. Love me, love my dog. If you respect what I'm doing, what I'm wearing, what I'm up to, if you understand my mind, my mentality, then I will listen to you and I will take you seriously. If you have a guy, he's all in worker clothes, you know, you start your sophisticated philosophical presentation, it's not going to fly. You just ask the guy, how's work? Everything going all right? You got enough job? Things going okay? Yeah. Businessman, how is business? Oh, okay, all good, you know? Why are you asking? Well, are you the owner, or are you the slave, or are you the boss? You do this, you do that, like that. If you understand where they're at, then that person knows this person is sensible. This person knows where it's at. But if you have your preconceived notion and you're just a robot and you just want to stick your book there, sometimes they'll take it, but a lot of times they won't. Because they can see that it's just a machine. It's just, you know, book donation. Book donation. And okay, every 200 people somebody will take. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting some favorable response from the people. You know?
Could that be implicit as though you're not really interested in having a good day at work?
No, I'm interested in them as a person. I'm not interested in what job they do or what clothes they wear or what's the name of their dog or, you know. But I'm interested in them as a person. And thus it's not duplicitous because I actually care for them and I'm interested in them. I'm not so concerned about the details and the externals, but I really care about the person.
Now, how you can show that?
How do you show that? It's a feeling. It's something from the heart. You know, care. It's something from the heart.
Empathy.
You're actually concerned. You're actually ready to, you know, do what it takes to make that person fortunate. So it's not duplicitous. Like people are sometimes, oh, okay, why do you ask? Why do you ask? Why do you ask? And then you can't say, because I care for you, man. You know?
Why do you care about me?
I can say why. Because we're giving these books today to all the nice people. And I think you're a nice person. That's why. So you're qualified.
You really think you're a nice person?
Yeah, I do. Otherwise, why should I fly, you know, around the globe to come down here? I have better cheese where I come from. I have better chocolate where I come from. I got better money where I come from. Why should I come here?
Do you have compassion?
No, because there's nice people here. That's why. You got to believe that.
What do you then feel that way?
Then you have to find somebody who feels that way. Some devotee, your guru, Srila Prabhupada, and you serve them, and then that will rub off on you. But otherwise, if you're in the mood like the whole world can go to hell, you know, you can all get lost, you can all just fall off that cliff, and I wouldn't care less as long as I got my sense gratification. Then that means we're just very unfortunate. We're just, you know, still caught in our own little box of misery and pleasure and pain. But at one point we have to step out of that box. Because that box is not really fun. And that box is not really happening. Like we got a little thing going on here, you know. It's not a big thing, it's a little thing. You know, it's just about 20 of us. We have a little workshop, we have some discussion, there's some interaction, there's going to be some prasadam, right? So it's nice. But you could be having festivals of loving exchanges on a monthly basis. You have a Sankirtan festival here in Sydney. There you have what we're having now. A little talk, go out for a few hours, have some kirtan and some prasadam, haribol. Everybody goes home happy. It's clean fun for the whole family. Right? Is this possible?
Yes.
Yes. So then do it. You just designate either the first weekend or the last weekend or whatever weekend it is of the month. Then you just say, in 2010, these are going to be our 10 or 12 Sankirtan festivals. And we're going to have A kirtan, a talk, a discussion, some prasadam, we go out and distribute books, like that. And you'll be surprised how many people will join in. Is it complicated to arrange? Is it difficult?
Just the mindset.
Yeah. But if you see those old farts over there in the park, you know, bowling and, you know, cricketing and what it is, you know, if they can do that, they create their club, their own society, they pay people, they keep care of, take care of their grounds, you know, they have their meeting. It's like, it's just a question of getting together and deciding on what we want to do. And it's not about having meetings and, okay, who's the treasurer, who's the secretary, who's the chairman, who's the president, who's the boss, who calls the shots, how are things run. No, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he wrote, when he made that marketplace of the holy name, what is it called, the book? About Namhata? It's there in... it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. In one of his writings, he writes about a marketplace of holiness. He considers himself as a sweeper. Even though he's the author, he's the acharya, he's the one who is leading it all. He's the sweeper. He's the one who is just cleaning like that. So if we all have the mood, the spirit of I'm the servant, then it would be nice. But if everybody wants to be boss and nobody wants to do the job, no. You see, the fun is in the preaching. Now, we do all the organization and the management and all these things in order to facilitate the preaching. But if you actually get that taste when somebody takes that book and they smile and they respond and you see how they connected to Krishna, they got that initial mercy of Prabhupada, that's very tasteful, right? It's very ecstatic, you know? When you see how they just take off on that boost, you know, of initial sukriti, of initial kripa.
I told you a couple of ladies, you can give this book, you know, to someone, you know, on Christmas, and they said, oh no, I keep it for myself.
Yeah, so let them first take it for themselves. And later on, if you got something which is good, you want to share it with others. You want to give it to others. But first let people become convinced and let them become comfortable and, you know, hooked onto this taste of Krishna consciousness. So there is training, there is education, there is, you know, a whole movement there to help you how to organize and to establish this. And you've got a very wonderful setup here. You've got a very, you know, beautiful temple, high standards, big facilities, lots of books, restaurant, prasadam. You got all the facilities to pull it off. Now it's just up to us. What are we going to do?
I'll be thinking of like distributing the books for the new people to get their mercy and then wait for them to come back by Krishna's preaching or Srila Prabhupada's preaching.
No, you got to take their contact and follow up with them.
So that's going to be happening the second visit or third visit, not just first visit, isn't it?
Depends. Sometimes people are ready. They're very interested, so you just take their contact right at the beginning.
Like if you take yesterday's visit, no one would give us that contact details. Like
yesterday?
Yeah.
I could have. But some were already coming to the temple on a regular basis. Like that. But we could have. We could have done it.
Maybe like if we visit like 1,000 people, 1,000 homes, and maybe 50 of them would like to buy the books, and we would get 5 contacts.
Yes.
So you mean to say we contact them frequently and then call them to...
Yeah. But it's no use of just, you know, getting a database of 50,000 names and then nobody follows through with them. It's actually got to be done properly. So that's why yesterday we mainly concentrated on how to contact the person, how to give them the book. But then it would just take a couple of minutes to take their contact details and to actually keep in touch with them.
Then what happens? Like, suppose you...
What happens is like this. You gave them the book, you took their contact, just like there's different types of people. There's this young student from Kenya. She might be interested in some of these retreats, some of these programs which happen, you know, like that. You have some Indian people, you invite them to the temple directly. You have other people, maybe temple is a bit far, you invite them to a local gathering. Or you, first thing you do is after a few days, 2-3 days after they got the book, you write them an email thanking them that they took the book, that they took their time, gave a donation, hope they like it. Ask them if they have questions, please feel free to ask me, like that. And you may tell them about the website of the temple. Here you know where there's always activities going on. If there's anything else further or questions, please let me know. I'm always, you know, happy to assist, like that. You send that out. More than 70 or 80% send me a positive response. Some of them are like, okay, thanks, it'd be very nice. Thanks for telling me how it's going. And I will come myself and let you know. Others are like, okay, I'd like to know about this or about that. Other people can't be bothered. Some don't answer. Like that. Then you hand it over to your database person. You have so many people who are experts with computers and database management. So all these contacts have to be keyed in on a weekly basis. At least bi-weekly. So that they're updated. Which books do they have? When have they been contacted? For what programs do they want to be invited? Then at the push of one fingertip, at one button, you will know these are the 500 people who want to take cooking courses. These are the 700 people who want to go for retreats. These are the 200 people who want to participate in a Bhagavad Gita seminar. These are the people who want to do this and that. Just by one push, you will know all your prospects. Then you do the mail outs accordingly. And then 3 or 4 times a year, you may just anyway send them the whole mail out thing. May not be physically, may just be electronically, because it's free, it doesn't cost a thing. Like that. And you keep in touch.
Whatever the actual devotees, what I mean is like there is a devotee is coming out regularly to the temple.
Mm.
So he would have all the Prabhupada books, or he would have read all the books. So we're not concentrating on those people who are already there.
Well, right now we're not concentrating on any people. Right now, we're just, you know, we're just shooting in the dark. Like here, you have so many programs here. But then also, when there's no programs, any given day of the week, there is at least 10 or 20 or 30 people who walk through this door here and who come to see the deity. Nobody's there to talk to them. Nobody. Because everybody's too busy, right? But some of you who might not be, you know, going out on book distribution, or might not want to hit the streets, they might want to do a few hours at the temple as a receptionist. Just be there and greet people. Talk with them. And in this way you will sell sets of books, boxes of books. You give out prasadam. You create members. You get donations. Just because somebody's there talking to the people. Right? So you have to think like that. Like I've been here for a week now. And I've been talking to so many people who have not been talked to that much. But they've been coming here regularly. Because there's very few people living here. And those who live here, they're very busy with keeping the place afloat. So then, you know, it's not too complicated. Then you just find out, okay, the week has got 7 days. So we want to make sure that every day, there's, you know, like in a company, you go to a company, you have a receptionist, right? Might not be the brightest, it's not the highest paid job, but it's a nice person who knows how to deal with people and who knows how to direct them. Okay, what would you like? And, you know, they know the phone numbers and the contacts and like that. So, it's... You gotta have your plan, gotta have your strategy. And in this way it will increase. Then you have seminars, you have small workshops where you train people in how to present the Bhagavad Gita, how to present this small book, what to say about this book, what to say about this book, what to say about this book. Because, you know, every book is a little different. Like that.
Yeah.
And then they'll, you know, then actually they'll start reading the book. And then in this way you can get them motivated. Then some devotees will make plans, okay, how can we distribute prasadam? How can we have some prasadam distribution programs? Yeah? You just came in from outside, huh?
Yeah.
Is it hot out?
It's not sunny.
Yeah? Not too hot?
Not too hot.
Okay. Well, marble always feels cool, so...
Yeah. You just put...
Yes, put your hand on the floor and you feel all cool. So, if we let the moons of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda rise in our lives, then we'll always feel that freshness, that cooling shade of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But otherwise, if you're worrying about the ozone and about, you know, the climate, the sun, and the dust, and you have that scarcity mentality, oh, now there's too many people coming here, and there will be less to eat, and there will be less money, and, you know. There shouldn't be any scarcity mentality. There's enough opportunities for everybody. In the same way, this preaching movement is way bigger than all of us combined. We are just here, you know, for a short little while. We're just little ants running around in our own little universe. But if we can be instrumental of establishing a community, a society, a structure of devotees who work together, who support each other, who help each other, who counsel each other, who make each other strong to share Krishna consciousness with all the people who come here, I think Prabhupada will be very pleased. So please try it out and see what happens. I'm not telling you you have to believe me. I'm just telling you try it out and then you see what happens. So we're going to see one or two more. Clips, and then we will take a shot.
I was extremely honored.
Can somebody turn these lights off, please?
I knew it. Asked if I could give some basic words of encouragement in relation to the Srila Prabhupada's books. Because we know Prabhupada's books are the nucleus and the artery of our society. In his scripture, we have what is called the Parivasa Sutra. That is the verse that helps us to understand, you know, the entire text. The seed is like the seed that all other things of a particular text are to complement and to be in accord with. So if we think about it, in terms of our institution, Prabhupada's books are the parivasa for our institution, that our whole lives are to be so much centered around his books. I'm in an unusual situation now. Of course, I'm handicapped, terminally ill with cancer, at least according to what the doctors are saying. I have 1.5 legs, my leg has been amputated, and I've lost almost 40 pounds. And I'm just hoping most of that weight that's been lost is false ego that's going away. Anyway, on a more serious note, by modern technology, I've had a chance to be with you. It was so much my desire. Krishna is fulfilling that. Even for a few minutes, just to be able to share some points here. But Bhavananda and a few other devotees report how Srila Prabhupada had mentioned that he really didn't want to come here. And obviously, who of a higher nature want to come to this horrible place, you know, of Marja Loka, of so much degradation and lust and greed. But Prabhupada said how Krishna had encouraged him, you go and you write books and I will help you. So it seems very significant that we constantly keep in mind that Prabhupada coming to this world was so much in connection with his commission in providing transcendental literatures. It seems so important that we remind ourselves how Prabhupada was up in the middle of the night and how he struggled so much to see that these books would be able to be available for the world. And how he read his own books. So he read his own books. How much more important it is for us to read them in a scrutinizing way, as he was such a puppet for the previous acharyas. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how such great pure devotees, when they're writing, it's in the spirit of sitting down and Krishna is actually speaking through them. Practically, the majority of us, we came to this movement due to having contact with one of Prabhupada's books. And if we came another way, we became situated and convinced to remain in the society after reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And so many of ourselves as leaders, if you think about it, we're leaders because we're involved in printing the books, distributing the books, selling the books. And in many cases in the past, and for some of us, for some of you, we're still expertly doing that now, printing Prabhupada's books in so many, many different languages. I was reading all kinds of literatures, I took initiation from all kinds of gurus, and then I read the Sri Ishapanishad, and I was finished. Because from reading that, it gave more clarity than all of the books, you know, that I had read. And it helped to clarify karma and moksha and artha and dharma, and most important, it helped me to understand what in fact was Sanatana Dharma that was missing in the other books I read and the other teachers that I take a shelter of. Let me just try to conclude one or two short points. Just as Prabhupada came into this world to make books available to us, we see that in his last days, and even last hours, how much he was trying to make sure that the transcendental message was received. How he died on the battlefield. So from Prabhupada's entry into this universe and his departure, we see the importance of his books. So we want to go out of our way, constantly go the extra mile to honor Srila Prabhupada. And how do we do it? We read the books, we distribute the books, we print the books, we worship the books. But most important is that, as Prabhupada said himself about Gita Nandri prophecy and relationship to Gandhi, that the best way to honor a person is not by monuments, not by horrific kind of glorifications, but by creating a community that represents the ideas that that person stood for. So let us work like hell and try to see more how we can create communities that will represent the ideas that Prabhupada has given us in his books. We don't want to abuse the books by beating each other over the head with things taken out of the books. Sometimes we take things out of context, or we use the philosophy just to beat someone and to try to force them in some way based on our ulterior motives. But we want to worship the books by creating a community that represents what Prabhupada wrote in his books. That means by going deeper and appreciating the essence of the books, living it, and then we can share it as a wonderful, powerful international community. Hare Krishna, thank you for allowing me to be with you. And I'm excited, hoping that we'll all be able to be together more, especially as we keep this Paribhasa forefront, this Prabhupada's books, as the artery, as a major seed for our existence. Hare Krishna.
Shri Bhakti Tirtha Swami Raja Ki
Jai.
Okay.
Lights, please. Thank you all very much for your participation, and we hope to have as many of you as possible out today. We're going to go to town hall after prasadam at like around 1:15, and we're going to distribute some books there. So please come and join us. We're not going to go for too long, maybe 2 hours. Of other commitments, please try to reflect and meditate on what you've learned the last 2 days, and you can keep in touch through Ghanashyam Prabhu, and our two trainers here are ready to train. Whoever wants some training, they're available. So you can join them in their book distribution, assist them, you know, carry some books, watch, listen, and just get all the nectar. And then you can start doing it yourself in a very powerful way. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Harinam Sankirtan Yajna ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Vidhi Hetuvo. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai.
Can we just get an idea of who will be going out so we know the vehicles, how many vehicles we need? Very much to raise their hands, who will be going out after lunch?
Yeah, your vehicle is enough.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, your vehicle is enough.
Thank you.
Thanks to Ganeshyam Prabhu for organizing this seminar.
Thank you very much for coming.
Haribo. And to Rupa Raghunath Prabhu for driving us and taking us out and training us. And to Prabhu to lead us in the way and to stick it out here in Sydney. And
we'd like to thank Navina Nirodha.